All right, so promoting concentration. How can teachers help a student to concentrate? Is it more than just a quiet room? Sometimes we may think that it is all up to the students to figure out how to concentrate on their work. But is that true? Come to this workshop to hear pointers that teachers can use to enhance the ability of their students to concentrate on their work and maintain their focus. So what is your idea of concentration? I'd like you to give me some answers. What are some characteristics of concentration that come to your mind? I know you haven't had much time to think about it. Just maybe the first thing that pops into your head. I have some ideas. I've thought about this. Huh?
When a person is focused on what they're doing.
Okay, focused. Good. Good. Okay, it doesn't always equate speed. You're not going to be the fastest one on the block.
Engaging their complete brain on the subject.
Good. Engaging their complete brain on the subject. Half of it's not out frolicking somewhere else. It's all right here. Good. Some things that I thought of. I actually got these from Johnny Erb because he visited my classroom and wrote a little note to stick on the wall. And one thing he wrote down was on task. So somebody that's paying attention, that kind of came up already. They're on task, working. Another thing that I think of when I think of concentration is quiet. And, of course, paying attention. Just some aspects of concentration. You're probably going to wonder what I'm getting out of this story, but I had to think of Solomon and the two ladies that brought a baby to him and said, "This is my child," and the other lady said, "This is my child." And Solomon's there. What is he supposed to do? He don't know these people. He don't know the child. It kind of impressed me. So these two ladies are there just fighting this thing out, and Solomon, I forget if he said this first, maybe I'll just look it up. In 1 Kings 3:23, "Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living." So the king has this confusing mess to deal with. And then he gave a very simple answer. He said, "Bring a sword." And they brought a sword, and the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." And then it became very obvious real quick who the real mother was. And I hope I can pass on to you today this thing of concentration. So Solomon was very precise in that decision. He didn't make a big deal about it. He just said, "Bring me a sword." Very simple answer. Cut the child in two. We'll give half to this lady and half to that lady. And the problem was solved. Sometimes as a teacher, I know in my experience, it kind of came down to that. Helping students work and concentrate. Maybe they have two different options that they can do. Two different things that they can do. Sometimes you just have to be precise and give them a clear answer. This is what you're going to do. And I think that's a foundation to helping students concentrate in their work, is being very, very precise on what they need to be working on. So that's kind of the basis of my talk this morning, concentrating. I feel like it's kind of an abstract subject. I don't have anything, any concrete, like take the child out and give them a spanking. That's not part of concentrating all the time. That might be in first grade. You might have to do that. So it kind of feels like an abstract idea that we're dealing here with. We're going to go on to another example. Imagine that you are a minor and you are working to get steel. Now we know that steel or iron comes from an ore, and that is mined out of the earth. You're not going to go and just get steel right out of the ground, or gold right out of the ground, and have a big pile of gold. So an ore is a mineral in its natural state with all the impurities that are in it, that are mined with it. The definition of an ore is a naturally occurring mineral containing a valuable constituent, such as metal, for which it is mined and worked. Another definition for an ore is a source from which valuable matter is extracted. And then there are different kinds of ores. We have native ores, that's what gold, silver, and platinum come from. We have oxidized ore, that would be carbonates, phosphates, and silicates. We have sulfurized ore, that's where iron and lead would come from. And then halide ore would be metal halide. And those are different products that we get from this ore. One interesting thing about this mining process, there is a phase called ore concentration. And it is a very critical phase of separating the metal that they're looking for from all the impurities. And this concentration makes it a lot easier to extract the metal from the ore. I like this idea of them calling it a concentrate, because they are taking all the impurities out and taking what they're looking for, just say it's gold, and they're taking that gold and then they further refine it. This concentration is the process of removing particles or impurities from the ore. Ore can contain impurities such as boulders, sand, silt, and various other impurities. The impurities are removed to create a more concentrated ore with a higher percentage of metal. The concentrate is further refined to remove the different kinds of metal from the ore. And a lot of this information I got offline. They use different processes used to separate impurities from metals. They have hand picking. That would be where the impurities are identified based on their color or shape, and then they are removed by hand. They have hydraulic washing. The ore is passed through an upward moving stream of water to remove the lighter impurities from the heavier metals. Then they have magnetic separation. That is where they use a magnet to remove the certain metals that they are looking for. And then they have a froth flotation. That would be a suspension created in water where the pulverized ore floats, and then the metal is skimmed off the top. There's a few things I like to pull out of this process. Number one is, to concentrate, you have to remove all the things that distract. And that would be like removing all the impurities from this ore so that they can have the gold or metal, whatever they're looking for. And I'm going to take the classroom as the ore. The classroom is this big pile of stuff that has all kinds of distractions in it. It could be, well, in my classroom, it was the trucks driving down the road, or the airplane flying overhead, or the door slamming downstairs, or the people walking in to the school visiting. Other students causing distractions. So we're going to take the classroom as the or. Within this or, we have boulders, sand, and silt. And I'm going to take those three things, and we're going to make a little list of distractions that are in those three categories. We have boulders, sand, and silt. We'll put, we're going to start with the small one, silt there. We'll put the sand here and the boulders over there. So the silt are the little things that are very easy to get rid of, maybe. They're not big. Silt is very light, floats on water. Some examples that I came up with that for that are coughing, not sure if I spelled that right. Nose blowing. Now, a lot of these are taken from my experience in my classroom. I'm not blaming the other, my co-teachers for this, but maybe it's parties in other classrooms. I mentioned this one already, loud trucks, airplanes, annoying flies, slamming doors, visitors. Gotta have those, though. You can't really just tell them they can't come to school, because I think they're a very good part of the classroom. Here's another one. You have a student that likes to draw. Whoops. This is kind of a self-inflicted distraction, drawing pictures on their tablet when they should be working. Just a little thing, but it can have big consequences sometimes. And then we're going to move on to the sand. So the sand are bigger distractions. I wasn't quite sure what label to give this. I'm going to put distractions from behavior problems. Could be that your back is turned and two students are sitting there communicating with each other. We'll put students communicating. Maybe it's a fight at recess that's still smoldering. It could be the mountain of work that's piling up on the student's desk. or maybe you as a teacher are trying to come up with a good example to tell your students to demonstrate something in the lesson, and one of your students remembered a story from way back somewhere in his past, and he just has to tell us. And then that leads to another one. Another student remembers something. Those are just a few distractions that you could put in that list. There's probably many more. We're going to go on to the boulders. These are big distractions that cannot be fixed in one day. One thing I thought of is unsettled home life. If you have a student with a bad home life, it can be a very big rock to get out of their way so that they can focus on their work. Maybe it's bad student-teacher relationships. Maybe it's a bad relationship between students. And I'm talking a little bit more than just the fight at recess. And then there's an even bigger one. I hope this doesn't apply to anybody here, but maybe it's a church struggle. Last year I talked to a teacher that had this in his school. It was very real. He wasn't sure how the day was going to go. It's just like, how do you fix those? You can't hardly by yourself, because you aren't the cause of it. Somebody else is causing them problems, and it is in turn affecting your students. So it's hard for them to focus on what they need to be doing. Okay, we're going to leave that little illustration now and go to the first word of the title of this workshop, two parts of promoting. So what is promoting? A definition of promote is to contribute to the growth or prosperity of. And another definition is to help bring into being. There's nothing about force in this. You are to promote. That means, when I think of promote, that means being an example, creating an atmosphere that the students can pick up on and can model in their life to be able to concentrate on what they need to do. So first of all, I'm going to look at the teacher, kind of, and what the teacher needs to do, some ideas that the teacher needs to do to help promote this concentration. So first of all, is being concentrated as a teacher. As a teacher, I had life outside of school, and that can have a big impact on how I teach. If you have a late night before, just say Sunday night, you have a late night, and you got to get up Monday morning, it's the start of the week, that late night can cost you some preparation, maybe, that you need to be doing on Monday morning. So as much as possible, be ready to teach at 9 o'clock. It's not always possible. Sometimes you have to just cut things out in your preparation that you would like to get done, but maybe they aren't necessary. But as much as possible, just be ready to teach, even if you aren't prepared. I think there's a difference between being completely prepared and being able to fly by the seat of your pants, maybe, and just put on a front. I'm not talking about being a hypocrite. But we're trying to teach students on how to concentrate. Sometimes we have to just put on a front that is calm and collected, that appears that way to the students, and it will be a foundation for them to go off of. So even if you don't feel like you have everything together, you're not ready for your day, just relax and try to pass that on to your students. Put your distractions aside so that the students can learn how to put their distractions aside and focus on their work. And along with that, try not to be rushed. For me, it was hard to get classes done in time. I only had 2 grades, and I admire people that have more grades than that because I felt busy enough the way it was. But it made me rush trying to get through my classes quickly. And that didn't help for me. Try not to be rushed and just relax again. Sometimes I have found that when I rush, time moves faster. If I just slow down and take my time at something, it seems like the clock slows down too. Now there will be times where you will have to push the students faster. They're not working very hard and they can move faster. That's okay. But don't push them to the point where they just can't even function, can't even think right. Another thing is be concise. This is kind of where I brought that story in about Solomon. So he was very concise. He didn't try to solve this big old problem. He just said, bring me a sword. Sometimes you might have to just bring in a sword or something. Maybe you have 2 students that are just begging to tell a story. And they have a mountain of work on their desk that they really need to get done. Sometimes you have to just say, stop, save the story for noon, recess, and work on your math. Focus on that for now. When you're done with that, you can work on your English. Another thing in this promoting concentration is decisions that you have to make throughout the day. Sometimes my students would ask me if they could work outside or they could skip a section. And one student wants to do one thing, another student wants to do something else, and you have all the in-betweens that want to do both. Just keep it clear and simple for them in some of these decisions. Just tell them what they should do and move on. It doesn't matter if you hurt somebody's feelings a little bit because they didn't get their way. But just keep moving. Make these decisions simple and keep on moving with your day. Maybe a student can't concentrate because they don't know how to do a certain section. I had a few of these. Just break it down for them. Read the directions. Tell them to read the directions and do the first thing. When they're done with that, do the next thing. When they're done with that part of the directions, do the third thing. Don't try to take the whole problem at once. Just break it down. Keep it simple. And when you can teach them how to do that, after a while, they won't be asking you how to do some of this stuff. And I think that's part of helping them to concentrate, because it puts it in a form that they can understand and they can process it on their own. Now, maybe you're in class and you have some students that are just looking at the wall, looking out the window, and you just wonder, How can you fix that problem? Because they aren't really paying attention to you. Keep them involved in your class. Maybe tell them that you'll be asking questions later when you're done talking, and they need to have answers for you. Or if you're reading something, have them pick on different people. Don't tell them what order you're going to go in, but just pick on different people to read a part of the lesson. Keep them involved. It'll help them to learn to stick with you and be able to concentrate on their work. Another thing with classes, try to keep them interesting and short as much as possible. Move through your classes in an efficient way, but don't do it too fast where they can't understand. Teach them what they need to know, the basics, and let them discover the other things that aren't so important. You don't have to cover every little thing. If you cover every little thing, after a while, it's too much for them. And they go back to their desk just like, what's going on here? Some students are fine with that. There are others that aren't. One thing I like to do with this class time thing is I like to teach the lesson in math. Just say math. I would teach the lesson, and then I'd tell them to get to work. They maybe didn't get everything, but I could go around, and I could tell who all was struggling. Some of them could go on their own, and some of them were still grasping the lesson. And then I could help those people individually instead of holding them all there, trying to make sure they all have it. The next part, this probably has to do more with the workshop that got canceled, eliminating distractions, and some of what I've been talking has had to do with that already. Just some ideas for things that you can do to help promote concentration. Maybe these are techniques or tools at your disposal. So if the distraction is outside, shut the blinds or close the window. If it's just a fly, kill it. Get it out of there. One thing I found was my students enjoyed watching me kill a fly, though. So you kind of have to be careful with that. Have the coughing student get a drink or bring cough drops. Have the student that is always blowing his nose go outside the room. Or do it quietly somehow. Don't let the students draw till their work is done. If a student has to draw, they can wait till they're done. And I'll just tell you a little bit about my experience on that. Some of you know it already. So I had a student that just liked to draw in the notebook. And I'm okay with drawing, but it takes away from their work. I like to see students drawing. And so one student would do it that was fast and they could get done in time. That's okay. But the next student that would draw couldn't get done in time. And I would go back and forth on this thing. I would let one student draw, the next one I'd tell her to get to work. And finally I just had to draw the line across the board, no drawing until your work is done. And that freed up so much the question of what's allowed. And they were able to just get to their work and get it done. It didn't take care of all the problems, because I still had problems with that student still drawing, but just keep it simple so that they understand what they need to do. This is an idea that comes from Shepherd's staff this last year, I think. This probably applies more to little children. If a student has a problem looking around, give them 5 popsicle sticks to put on their desk. Go buy a headlamp or get a headlamp from somewhere and have them wear it and turn it on. And if you see that headlamp looking shining around, then you take a popsicle stick away. And once their three or five popsicle sticks, whatever you give them, is gone, then they get a punishment. I think that would be a very effective tool for little children on making them stick to their lesson, focusing on their work. Another thing I figured out that helped my students focus on their work was, I wish I'd done it way sooner. For a long time, we would have math, and they wouldn't get done with math class, or their math lesson. So we'd go on to English in the next period. Well, their math wasn't done yet, so they would ask me if they can work on math, finish that. Right after English class, they'd be asking me if they can finish math. And sometimes I would let them, sometimes I wouldn't. Finally, I just said, told them that you have to finish whatever is in that class period before you go back to what you didn't get done. So if we had English class, they had to work on their English right now till that was done. And then they could go back to math. And that simplified it for a lot for them, because then they knew what they should be working on. It kept it simple for them. If you have students that are distracting each other, maybe you have to separate them or send them out to separate rooms somehow. I'm not a big fan of sending them out to rooms. I've done it. There are things about it that I don't like, because then you can't watch that student very well. But sometimes you might just have to do that. Send a student to another room. Make them work by themselves, and also give them a goal that when you check up on them, they have to have this much work done, or else there will be a consequence. And I already talked about this one a little bit. If a student is behind on his work, give him an attainable goal to work towards, like finish your math, and once you're done with that, ask me what to do next. Don't look at the math and English and reading that you have to finish at. Just finish math. Focus on that for right now. Have a quiet time to work. Now, here in a little bit, I'm going to contradict myself. But for right now, we're going to focus on quiet time. So sometimes I would tell my students when they were asking lots of questions, just work for 20 minutes without asking anything. And then once that 20 minutes is up, then you can ask me questions. And it was very relaxing and helped them to just work. They knew what they needed to do, and they weren't worried about asking me to figure out how to solve something. Sometimes they would go ahead and solve stuff on their own. The next thing you can do, I don't do this every day, but you can have a loud day. And is what that is the students have to talk the whole time that they're working. So they have to say everything that they're doing. I'm getting my math book out. I got my pencil. I'm opening my math book to lesson 23. The directions say, solve these problems. And then when they write the problem down, they just say everything. And it's loud. And it takes a little bit to get used to, but it was fun when we tried it. And some of them liked it because it made them concentrate on what they were doing instead of concentrating on everything else. And you can always give rewards for goals that you set for them. If you're trying to help them focus on your work and you give them a goal, maybe give them a reward for it. It doesn't have to be much. Younger students probably, this would work better for younger grades. Maybe it's a piece of gum, maybe it's a new eraser, I don't know, a little pencil. But give them something to work towards. I don't promote doing that all the time because I think children need to learn to work even when there's not a reward. Life isn't all about what you can get. For bigger grades, it could be going on a picnic if they get so many books done in their work or so many lessons done, then you'll go on a picnic or have coffee. Just something to get them motivated. All right, I'm going to open it up now for a little bit of discussion if you have some. What are some things that you might be thinking about in this promoting concentration? Any ideas that came to your mind on how to promote this stuff?
Maybe. How often did you have a wow day?
How often?
Yeah.
I only did it one time. Ernest, did you do it more than once?
I tried it once a year.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Like I said, I wouldn't do it very often because it's very, while I think it benefits them in forcing them to focus, it is very loud. And sometimes you wonder if it's actually doing anything. It's just an exercise to make them think when they have all kinds of stuff going on around them. Did you do it at all? Yeah.
I did it last year, and I didn't see as much of a difference last year, but when I taught earlier, we did it, and we were all done with our work by noon, because everybody concentrated, got through their work, and, but again, and you might want to let
sort of a motivational tool then, they wanted to talk, and they wanted to let everybody know talk.
Well, not really. I always made the rule that they have to talk about school stuff. If I would catch them talking about school stuff, they would get a rap on the head. It's kind of amazing how it works, actually.
It's kind of opposite of what you'd think.
Yeah. Check with your co-teachers first.
Yeah.
Let them know.
Great.
One thing that, with creating rewards, if you're teaching in a culture outside of your own, it's really, you have to learn what they value first or what they want to do, because obviously in the Cove there, coffee's a big deal. Well, I learned this last year going back home that it was only important to two or three of my students, and somehow I had to rethink that whole, what do you do now?
Yeah. Yep. I know you kind of take it for granted that everybody's the same.
I did that popsicle stick idea, except for upper graders, I just gave them like Carl's candies,
mm-hmm.
put them on their desk, and then when I was teaching high school off to the side, the lower, the 7th and 8th graders, they were allowed to grab one from their neighbor if they saw their neighbor looking their direction. But nobody took anybody else's because
right.
they all had their head down.
That would be an interesting twist. All of a sudden you're swapping candy back and forth.
They're well behaved, so that helps.
Yeah. Yep.
And your list of stuff up there on the board, I think that list, it grows from sand to silt to boulders as the students get older.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, but at least.
I think so. You're right. And the boulders, that's kind of it is a tough one, because it's like, what do you do with some of this stuff? This child is supposed to be here at school, but their mind is somewhere else, in La La Land, or not even there. And it's just like, how you have to fix this problem, but to fix it, you have to go back to the source. And the source is something that you can't really touch as a teacher sometimes. Okay, well, thank you all for your attention. I'm not going to drag this out any longer. That's probably my last point in promoting concentration, is if you are in class and you run out of stuff to say, don't don't keep yakking. Just shut it down and keep going, let them work. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for your contribution. And wish you God's blessing on your school year. You can be dismissed.